What I'm going to do today is let's just, as we shared, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8, which is what we've been looking at. And the first lesson or second lesson, I encourage everyone. Brother Hagin shared something, one of his last messages before he transferred or went to heaven. He was sharing, I remember his last visit here. He'd been to this church many, many times, probably about 8 or 9 times he had been to the church here through the years. And one of the last times he was here, he taught on the love of God. He was focused on that. And he spent about a week here teaching on the love of God. And so one of the things he shared in one of his last messages was that he shared that if, he said, first of all, you read the Word of God daily. That was his, not the Word of God. He said, read the book of 1 Corinthians daily, 1 Corinthians 13. And then he shared 3 points. He said, if you were to read this daily, he said some of the problems that we're having in our health would flee away. He said some of the issues that we're having in our bodies would flee. And he said some of the blessings that we've desired and longed for and looked for would come. So we said that reading 1 Corinthians 13 daily will begin to do that. And so we've just encouraged everyone that for the next 3 months, read daily those 13 verses in 1 Corinthians 13. Read that daily. I'm making it a point that when I wake up, I read it, and when I go to bed, I read it. It's the first thing I see, and the first thing I see when I go to sleep, or the last thing I see. So it's something to meditate upon. So today we're going to pick up, and I'm going to just read from the Amplified because that's what most people are familiar with. Sometimes in the King James, it's a little, some of the words, we don't use those types of words anymore. So I'm going to read it from the Amplified, starting in verse 4. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Love is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, or fretful, or resentful. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Now, in the King James, I'm just going to use this particular characteristic. I'm going to cover 5 characteristics today. And the first one, I've labeled this as characteristic number 7. So we've gone through 6 characteristics of the love of God. I'm not going to touch on those today. You can go back and get the CDs from the bookstore or DVDs, or you can just download them or listen on the website. But characteristic number 7 is charity or agape seeketh not its own. This is in verse 5 in the King James. It says, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Now you may say, okay, what does that mean? So this word seeketh from the Greek, and of course you can just look these things up, which I did in the Strong's Concordance. It means to seek, to require, to demand something from someone. So that means you're demanding. So what this really depicts, it's a person upset about not getting what they want. And that's what love doesn't do. Love seeketh not its own. So in other words, it's saying that it's a person, in this case, seeketh means a person that wants to get what they want. They basically could reflect a person who's scheming or manipulating person to get what they want. They manipulate things. They'll twist the facts, look for loopholes, put words in people's mouths, try to hold others accountable for promises they never made. So this is what we call manipulation. So agape love doesn't seek its own. So in other words, it's not having a secret agenda to get what you want. Right? So agape love is not scheming or manipulating to get your own.
Amen.
Get what you want. Amen. That is not what God does. That's not what we do.
Amen.
So this was a rendering that Rick Renner used in his Sparkling Gems for this. He said, love does not, this is how he wrote this, based on his interpretation of the Greek and how he would render that. He said, love does not manipulate situations or scheme or devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. See, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't scheme for its own advantage. It's not self-seeking. That's what the Amplified says. So in other words, in the King James, it says charity or agape seeketh not her own. We just got done reading the Amplified. It says love is not self-seeking. So I don't do something for my own advantage. Right? So characteristic number 8. Says, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Boy, we could spend the rest of the lesson here. this right here is not easily provoked. You know, all of us are, you know, I used this term before, you know, we're saved, but these bodies ain't saved, and this flesh isn't, and the flesh is intolerant. So, you know, we tolerate things. Some people have a longer wick than others. You know what I mean by that? Some people will tolerate things a little longer just because of their personality, their makeup, their background. And so some people, everybody, I don't care who you are, if you're under the sound of my voice, somebody in here is going to reach a point where they go, that's it. That's it. I'm done. Or they'll do this. Whatever you do, that just means enough, right? You can roll your eyes, suck your teeth, put this up. Whatever that means I'm done, right? But we all, every one of us, reach that point. And if you don't, then God bless you. But every one of us do. So we're going to take some time here. Love is not easily provoked, right? That's what it says in the King James. In the Amplified, it says, it is not touchy. Oh, don't touch me. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful, right? So now this word provoked in the King James, it means, and this I'm pulling this because Rick Renner has a understanding of the Greek. He understands if somebody uses this Greek word, he understands it's a compound of two words put together and it has a meaning. I wouldn't know that, but he does. He said this word is a compound of two Greek words. He said it really means to irritate, provoke, arouse to anger, to scorn, to make angry, to exasperate. These are some words. But this is what he said. It's made up of two Greek words that when compounded together portrays someone who comes alongside another and begins to poke, prick, stick that other person with some type of sharpened instrument. It's called a nudge. You're like, right? Nudge you, right? Right? Anybody under? Everybody has either been the recipient of or has been the one doing it, right? And you understand. So we don't have to get into all that. But it says, they continue until the victim becomes provoked. That's what this says. Is not easily provoked. So it says when the victim has had enough of their actions, they respond by violently and aggressively responding. This results in a fight or a serious conflict. And you all know that. So here's something. Let's turn over to Acts 15. Turn over to Acts 15, because we can see this in the scripture. Because it's the same, and the reason I'm using this is because this is the same exact Greek word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13 when it says not easily provoked. That word provoked is the same exact word that's used in this instance with Paul and Barnabas. Same thing. Look in Acts 15 and verse 36. It says, And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city, because they had come together, the Holy Ghost had spoken and separated those two to minister together. And so Paul saying to Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. If you go back and look, the Holy Ghost separated, he separated Silas. This was the Holy Ghost that separated Silas and said it was good that it said it seemed good unto us. You can go back and look at that. So here, Paul thought not good to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And look what happened. Verse 39. And the contention, that word contention is the word for provoked. So the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here you have a situation. It says here, this word provoked, it says this lets us know that Paul and Barnabas came alongside each other in close debate, pricking one another, right, in contention, and began to poke, stick, prick, and jab each other with their words. That's what we're talking about. It leaves no doubt that their conversation was extremely hot. You can see it from the writing here. The provocation was so severe that it disrupted their friendship and destroyed their partnership in ministry. So as a result of this harsh word, these two men who had served God together in the ministry separated. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. So we need to be conscious of the fact that love, agape love, is not easily provoked. And when we find ourselves getting in a contentious thing, we need to let love rule. Because if it continues, it could separate and drive a division, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's partners in a business, whether it's children and parents, it could be partners in ministry, whatever it is. The devil is what? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And even going back, I'm thinking about it now as we're just sharing this. When we look at Proverbs, what do we say in Proverbs 12? It says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. So we need to watch what we say to one another. Amen. And we all, hey, me too. Amen. We all need to watch what we say, how we say it. And if we get into a disagreement, we need to table it. Amen. I'm not saying table it. If it gets to a place where we're saying things that are not right, and it extends to a place of conflict, you need to shut it down.
Amen.
Because we're opening a door at that point. And we will not prosper in that. Love doesn't do that. That's what this is saying. Love does not and is not easily provoked. So this is the way Rick Renner rendered this in his understanding. He said, love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. So if you get an ugly or violent response, you know you've gone too far. That's essentially what it is. So let's make this confession. I'll put these in today. Let's say this out loud. Say it, believe it in your heart, and say this. Follow me. Lord,
help me
to curb my anger,
hold my tongue,
and refrain
from speaking words
that bring harm.
Thank you
for forgiving me
for past sins.
Because that's what it is. We need to watch our words. It is not easily provoked.
Amen.
Okay, characteristic 9. Now that I have your attention. Because that one right there will get your attention. Characteristic 9. This is in the King James. Charity thinketh no evil. The Amplified, it says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. This is what the Amplified says. So this word thinketh, this is interesting, and this is, Rick Renner gives some very good insight here. Some of it you can glean, and I'm sharing this. I use the Strong's Concordance a lot. You can read descriptions of what that word is in the Greek, but he, because he studied it, and he's a scholar, he brings even more insight into the word, how I can look at that from today's society. So this word thinketh no evil, he said it means to reckon. I thought this was interesting to me right here, this here. It means to reckon, to count, to compute, to calculate, to count over, to take into account, to make an account of. This is what he said. He said, this is an accounting term. He said it would be better translated to count or to reckon. It literally means credit to someone's account. So he said, this is the way he put this. In this case, the bookkeeper is the offended person. So love takes, what it says here, love thinketh no evil. So the offended person is the bookkeeper. Who is the offended person who keeps detailed records of every wrong that was ever done to them. Rather than forgive and let it go, the offended person or the bookkeeper has carefully maintained records of each action done that they deemed unjust or unfair. So they've kept an account. They're thinking evil. So that word thinketh, he said, is an accounting term. It means to keep a record or to calculate or compute and to, you know, keep a record of it. So he said, love doesn't do that. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So this is not how love operates. So now I'm going to show some things here. If you want to see how agape love behaves, look at the behavior of God. He could drag up your past before you all the time, but he doesn't do that. He does not keep a record. He doesn't compute that. So now you want to see that in the scripture? Let's turn over to Psalm 103 for a minute. Let's look at Psalm 103. This is a good example of God. We will look at God's behavior. Let's look at Psalm 103. And then this is how God operates. This is how we should operate. Psalm 103. You know, we're all familiar. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, we shout over that. We get happy. Oh, yes, O Lord. So let's look at verse 3. It says what? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He forgives you all of your iniquities. Right? So he forgave us. So now, same chapter. Look at verse 10. He didn't deal with us according to our sins. What does it say? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He ain't keeping any records. He's not dealing with us according to our sins. So now, look at verse 12. He chooses not to remember. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So God doesn't keep records of your past forgiven sins. So if you've asked forgiveness, they're washed under the blood. He doesn't keep a record of it. And he doesn't bring it up. And neither should we. Love doesn't do that. Love thinketh no evil. So God separates them from you. So this is how agape love behaves. So here's the thing. If you're ever tempted to keep mental records. Maybe you don't have a book. Maybe you're not keeping a diary. But you got a mental diary. You got that little mental Rolodex for some of you older folks to understand what a Rolodex is, right? You don't know what that is? Come see me. Keep a mental record of wrongs someone has done to you. You are not giving that person the same mercy that God has given to us. You're not. So love thinks no evil. It doesn't keep a record or an accounting of things done to it. So the question is, are you holding someone hostage in your mind who did something you deemed inappropriate? If they did something wrong, it is right to confront them in love. We're not saying don't confront, but once you've dealt with the matter, you need to release the offense and let it go. So if you're having a hard time releasing people from their past wrongs, it's a sign you need agape love to be released in you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here's the point. Throw your diary away. God threw his away.
Amen.
It's under the blood. So here's how Rick Renner renders this verse, love thinketh no evil. He said here, love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Love doesn't do that. And I would dare say all of us have to grow in this particular area, every single one of us. Because even if you don't deliberately do it, we're tempted to do it. Every one of us are. It's like, and you start going back saying, you know, you always do, you know, husbands and wives, you always do this. Really? Well, then look, it's time to have a discussion. If that's the case, have that discussion. We're not saying don't have a discussion. That's silly, too. Have the discussion, but once you resolve it, determine, you know, think about this. When God, he doesn't say to you the 89th or 2000th time that you've missed it. You don't hear down here, you know, you've been doing this for the last 50 years. When are you going to get it together? I've been forgiving you. I've had enough of you. We don't hear that, do we? We don't hear that. Why? Because love is long-suffering. And he thinks the best of us. So I think that when we find ourselves in this area, we need to grow. We all do. In whatever degree we need to grow. If we're tempted to keep a record, if we're tempted to bring up past offenses or past things, let's grow in that area. So let's make this confession today. Just a simple confession. Let's say this. Today,
I am making a decision
to wipe the slate clean
regarding anyone
who has ever acted
unjustly
or unfairly
with me.
We just have to make a decision we're going to do that. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I didn't say that. Because sometimes when we interact with people, you could come into the presence of someone and just the very hairs on your head stand up and you're like, ugh. You know, I'll share something, you know, just a personal experience. Years ago, and I'm not going to give a time frame because then it would disclose who it is, but I'm just saying years ago, a Christian person, I won't name the gender, but a Christian person, I'm not trying to be politically correct or not, I'm just saying this was a Christian person that was in dire straits and needed some money. And so I lent them the money. It wasn't a little bit of money. It was a lot of money. Not poquito, grande. For those that understand, it was a lot of money. And it wasn't a lot just to me. It was a large sum of money. And the person said, oh, no, I'll pay you back. Do we need to have a contract? I said, no, I trust you. And I really did. Because the person was a Christian. Well, they took off. Never saw hide nor hair of them again. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was very, 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 very angry. I was angry. And I was upset. And I said, if I ever see that person, they're going to get hurt. I'm serious. I said, if that person ever shows their beady little eyes in my presence, They're going to wish they never did. I was very angry because they violated my trust and violated a trust. That's why sometimes when a husband violates a trust of a wife, they go, you violated a trust of an individual and you dishonored that. And it's not a light thing. So anyways, time went by and I'm stewing in this. And I heard down here, I know the Holy Ghost voice. He said, let it go. And I went, I don't want to let it go. I want to hurt him. I said, I do not want to let it go. No. And I kept hearing down here, let it go. Just let it go. Very softly, very gentle. Let it go. And I said, no. So finally, you know how the Lord will do. Just gently, just kept saying, you need to let it go. And I said, okay, I'll let it go. And it wasn't easy. I'm going to tell you right now, it was not easy. Because I can tell you, if I had kept it, it would have been bitterness, and it would have been to my demise, not to that person. So I began to, every day, coming in, I would say with my mouth. See, we are delivered by our mouth. That's exactly what we read in Proverbs. And I began to say every day, every day, every day, not every once in a while when I thought about it, every day I said, I forgive this person and I let this go as a seed. I plant it. I let it go. And I did it through grit teeth because I didn't want to. And I said, I let this money go. And it got easier every day, easier every day, easier every day, to the point that that person showed up here. And instead of me decking the person and rolling around on the sound booth floor and being arrested for something, I'm serious, from my heart, from here, because I had planted the seed, the Word of God, I kept planting it, that when that person came in my presence, I put my hand out, I said, God bless you, good to see you. How's everything? So forth. He never brought it up, and I never did either. He never brought it up. Long time had passed. He never came and said, hey, I'm sorry, da-da, ba-ba, nothing. And I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it up, and I let it go. And I can tell you right here today, I have been blessed over and over and over and over, way out far beyond what I lent him. So you better follow love. Whoa. Follow love. Follow love. Keep no account of it. And that was God. He had to get involved because I was not willing to let it go. I was angry. And so this is where we live. We get taken advantage of in situations. We get hurt by people. And we sometimes become the victims of something. But love is going to reign. Amen. We're going to have to. And I learned through that a very valuable lesson. It was very valuable. So, anyways, I just shared that. Characteristic number 10. So this, again, we're continuing. It says, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. This word rejoice, and of course you probably know what it means. It says to rejoice, to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly. Now Rick Renner adds a little more to this word. He said the Greek word really means joy. He said it carries the idea of being glad about something. He said it's a person who's euphoric. You know, you ever seen a person that's just, they're gushing over something. They're euphoric over something. It means, and it said other words to describe this Greek word could be overjoyed, elated, ecstatic, exhilarated, thrilled, jubilant, rapturous. That's what we're not to be regarding iniquity. So we said here, have you ever, this is the question, have you ever secretly rejoiced? See now, if I'd gotten over into bitterness and that person that I got angry at, if they had gotten over into dire straits, at that time I would have said, deserves you right. But we're not supposed to do that. You could say, good riddance for you. But you see here, have you ever secretly rejoiced regarding someone who you didn't like, or someone you disapproved of that got into trouble? Have you ever done that secretly? So when you heard the news, were you tempted to think, it serves them right? They deserve what they're getting. After what they did to me, they deserve it. You know, these are thoughts that someone could be tempted by. You know, somebody goes through a hard divorce. I'm not going to share this because I was thinking about it, but I'm not. Because it's personal. I won't share that. Anyways. So if you are having or thinking this way, this is not how love acts. Amen. To rejoice at someone's hardship that did something to me is contrary to the love nature of God. The right response is to pray for them and their restoration. Amen. Agape love does not rejoice. That means to be exceedingly glad or joyful. It doesn't rejoice at someone else's misfortunes. Agape love does not rejoice at someone else's hardship or bad luck, as you might call it, right? So this is how Rick Renner renders this particular verse here. He said, love, I like the way he puts this, love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else. We don't feel overjoyed. And I'm talking about someone that may have done you wrong. So let's make this simple confession. Lord, I ask you to help me overcome those flesh moments when I am tempted at someone else's hardships. I know that this is not the way you behave. Forgive me for responding in a way that is contrary to love. I would encourage you, you know, there's a lot being shared here today. Get the CD, go back and listen to it and meditate on it. I really would. Because there's some things here that will change all of our lives. And the last characteristic for today is characteristic number 11. But it says charity, and again, what we said is rejoiceth not at iniquity, but it does what? Rejoices in the truth. So here's the question. When you see other people blessed, perhaps receiving a blessing or special attention that you have longed to receive yourself, are you able to truly rejoice with them? Can you rejoice? And again, rejoiceth, again, it carries the same, it's the same Greek word when it says rejoiceth, not to be exuberant and ecstatic over someone else's misfortunes or hardship that did something to you, but you rejoice, you're ecstatic, you're exuberant, you're joyful at what? The truth in someone else's fortunes, that something's good happening in their life. So it says, does it thrill you that other people are moving upward in life? Does it threaten you or make you sad when you see someone else receive a blessing you wished was yours? So are you ecstatic and exuberant over that? So how we respond reveals our spiritual maturity. It does. So when Paul says charity rejoiceth in the truth, this is how Rick Renner renders this. Love is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Good reflection. Let's say this as we conclude today. This is our confession. I confess
that I am blessed
when I see someone else
receiving a blessing
or special attention.
It thrills me
when I see other people
moving upward
in life.
Even when someone
steps
into the blessing
I've been believing for
in my own life,
I'm elated for them.
I'll tell you, this
new year, if we get more of the love of God working
in our homes and our personal lives,
it's going to be different and change.
It's going to change some things.
And I'm believing for that for myself.
So let's let the Holy Spirit search our hearts
and show us if we can improve in these areas of love
in our lives.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
So that's what we shared. A lot today.
And then on Wednesday, I'm going to conclude
with probably another
4 points.
That'll make all 15 points.
So these spectrums
of love are characteristics.
And again,
get the CDs or
DVDs. And
if you can afford to get
these are not expensive
books. These are very
inexpensive.
These books
will help
add to or
supplement what we're
teaching.
So
I trust you're getting a little
something out of this.
At least, if
anything, it's
allowing you
to sit
in an atmosphere
where we're talking
about and sharing
about the love of God.
And in that atmosphere,
the Holy Spirit will
begin to reveal
to each one of us
individually.
Don't nudge
your husband or your
wife.
Don't look at your
neighbor and go,
he's talking about
you.
No,
he's talking
about
how we should
operate.
And
let the Holy Spirit
reveal
to each one of
us individually
where we
need to make corrections
and change.
Because
it'll be done.
How many know that
when the Holy Spirit
reveals things
to us, it's
with love
and peace?
Amen. Amen.
Glory to
God. Well, thank
you for your attention
today.
I thank God
that He's
prompting us to
go this way. It's
a little different,
but
praise God.
Amen.
Before
we conclude today,
let's
just take a moment.
I know
we've heard a lot today,
but
one of the things we
shared in the very
first lesson
is that
you cannot
love
without
having your nature
change. You
can't love,
you know, we
talked about
the love of
God, but you can't
love
like God loves
without His
nature being
in you.
And even
when His nature's
in us,
it says, what
does it say? Be
not conformed to this
world, but be ye
transformed
by the renewing
of your mind so
that you can do what?
Prove
what is that good
and acceptable and
perfect will of
God. So
even
without
even having
our natures
changed,
there's something
different, and we
know now we
start loving
people that we didn't
love. But
sometimes
we need to
constantly have
our minds
renewed,
because
this flesh
will get in the
way.
And
we'll try to rise
up
and suppress
the very
nature of God in
us.
We'll
yield to the flesh,
is another way of putting
it.
And so
this
nature, I like what 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So the mere fact that when you see people loving on one another, this is why when Jesus gave the commandment, he said that we're to love one another. By this love, he said, they're going to know that you're my disciples. That we're followers of Christ because we love one another.
Amen.
And so this very love nature that's in us needs to be perfected and developed. True, but you can't love unless you get your heart changed.
Amen.
So if you're in here today and you've never done that, you've never, when I say done that, you've never had a heart change. You'd like this kind of love that we're talking about, but you're saying, I can't do that. That's not possible. Yes, it is. You just have to ask God to come into your heart, and he'll change you. You're not doing this on your own. He's helping you. He's living, as Galatians says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So I don't have to do this by myself. He's living in me to help me.